True and Namaste Publishing present Living the Liberated Life and Dealing with the Pain Body, Session 3 with Eckhart Tolle.
In Eastern terms, we are talking about karma. Karma really, ultimately, is all the conditioning from the past, including the past pain, that you mistakenly believe is who you are. Karma is to be identified with all past conditioning and to be condemned to relive and act out continuously your past conditioning. So pain body is an aspect, an important aspect of karma. So what we are addressing here is going beyond the unconsciousness that is karma. What we are talking about here is actually the dissolving of karma. There would be no end to karma otherwise, because it renews itself. That's why it's often likened to a wheel. It renews itself continuously. This is an end to pain, an end to suffering. Use your relationships in your practice and realize that no matter who you choose as your partner, they will have a pain body. Don't look for the ideal partner without a pain body. And that's good. And use the relationship, because it's so much easier to become aware of your own pain body in a relationship than if you live alone. Great opportunity for practice. If both of you understand how it works, you could have an agreement that you will help each other when the pain body arises in the other person, so that the other can stay very, very present instead of going into reactivity. Stay very, very present. And if the partner gets taken over by the pain body, stay so present that you allow it without reacting and thinking that that's who that person is. Allowing it. If your partner doesn't want to cooperate, you just do it for yourself. It only takes one person, ultimately, to be free. It's great if he or she does. For many women, pain body arises as the approaching menstrual cycle comes. I mentioned it briefly in the book, because there's so much collective female pain. One aspect of pain body is collective human pain. Now, collective may be the pain of a nation that you belong to. Certain nations have more of a heaviness to them than other nations. The New World has relatively less heaviness to it than the Old World, because the Old World, Europe, Asia to some extent, there's so much past there. There's so much the heaviness of past, and the heaviness of past pain is very much apparent. Certain countries, you just get off the plane, and if you're sensitive, you feel the energy field of the collective pain body. Eastern Europe, in many countries, you can feel it the moment you step. Germany, I feel it the moment I step off the plane. Russia. And so every individual who lives, part of their pain body is the collective pain body. So it's not just a person. Pain body is never a personal problem of yours. It's the human condition. It's your share in the human condition, not a personal problem. There are no personal problems. Every pain that you have in your life is your share of the human condition manifesting in a particular form. So there's one aspect of the collective pain body is the nation, the national. United States has some pain body, but less karma. There's less karma here than European states, and certainly some European states. And even such a thing as a relatively short-lived, like Vietnam War or something, adds a bit to the collective pain body, the experience. 50,000 men killed in some distant country, and Secretary of State at that time, in his autobiography, now says, well, in retrospect, it was probably a mistake. Human madness, just one more manifestation of human madness. But if you, and some of you were actually, I know, had to go there and suffer pain there, and that's fine, you work with that now. Now, there's also female pain, collective pain body. Just as there's a male collective pain body, the female collective pain body that every woman partakes in has to do with dreadful pain suffered particularly through women being treated as slaves and as worthless property for thousands of years. Not always. There was a time before that when women had their rightful place. But for thousands of years in most countries, women became victim of the patriarchal, mind-dominated state of consciousness. So that becomes particularly pronounced when the menstrual cycle starts, the very thing that is the femininity in you on the biological level. Is very painful. It awakens the female pain body, just as it happens. And this is in the old traditional teachings in Buddhism. They say no, women can never make it. They can't become enlightened because every time they go through their cycle, they lose consciousness. So they say, okay, we'll have to exclude women, and they did. And so it's become more and more lifeless. By doing that, and it's become more and more mind-dominated. The very fact is that the opposite is true. If women can use that, knowing that that is the time particularly when the pain body arises, and become present at that time, it will be through that that women become very quickly now free of their pain body, by bringing presence into, especially when the pain body arises at the approaching menstrual cycle, bring presence into that and become very alert. Watch the pain arising. Watch it, allow it to be. Be compassionate towards it, which is what the allowing is. Be compassionate, the compassionate one who allows the pain to be, and who is able to hold it, to hold the turbulence. And it's the state of presence is always a gentle embracing of what is. It's bringing a gentleness to it, which is a very powerful gentleness. Bringing the gentleness to it and embracing what is, and holding it in that embrace. And you stay present as you hold your pain, the pain, and watch the turbulence of it. Hold it. The more you hold it, the stronger, very, very quickly, your sense of presence grows much, much stronger as you hold the pain. And the pain will slowly lessen. But it no longer matters, because your acceptance of the pain is so total. You're not making that moment into a means to an end because I want to get to the end of my pain. Your acceptance of pain is complete, and that's where your spiritual power lies, in fully accepting it. But of course now, it hasn't become you. It hasn't become an unhappy me. You are fully there, you're fully present with it, you fully accept that there is the pain body vibrating in you. And you may have to hold that pain for quite a while. When the cycle comes, it can go on for a few days, and hold, bring presence to it. You may occasionally lose it, and then remember again and be present with it again. By losing it, I mean it may succeed in moving into your mind and control your thinking again. And then suddenly you remember and you hold it, holding it. So that pain becomes incredible teacher, and every time it happens, you bring the presence to it. That's why women are going, it's already, there's always more women coming to consciousness groups than men. Women will move forward more quickly now than men. I've seen that. I'm seeing it all the time. And part of the reason is that they'll be able to work with their pain bodies, which up to now has looked, has been a great obstacle, now becomes a great help as you bring the presence to it. Men still are less in touch with their bodies. More women, of course, are also in the mind, but men even more deeply entrenched in their mind structures. So there's a different, they of course also have pain bodies, but the predominant thing for men is identification with their head. The predominant thing for women is identification with pain body. So these are just the focal points. Wonderful practice. And I'd love to know, those of you who have already been practicing after reading the book, how you're doing, and what obstacles there are, where it is becoming difficult, or any questions that arise out of that. But this practice is so easy and so wonderful and so powerful that it's amazing that it's taken humans so long to get to this point. But transformation can be very quick now, very quick. So make your pain body into your ally. Your pain body is not your enemy. When you make it into an enemy, that's the old mind thing starting over and making even the pain body into a problem. How can I get rid of it? Forget about getting rid of it. Just watch it. That does it. Just watch. Hold. And then, at first, the pain seems overwhelming. And the more you bring your presence to it, you realize how powerful your presence actually is, and that the pain ultimately is just ripples on the surface of the vastness of who you are. All human pain ultimately is surface ripples or little waves pretending to be very big waves. And when you realize the vastness of your being, then very quickly you realize it's just a little bit of pain, but it blew itself up to gigantic proportions. That's the practice of liberation. And it doesn't take long. People ask me sometimes, well, how long do we have to do that for? That can vary from person to person, depending on the density of the pain body and other factors. It doesn't really matter. The practice itself is beautiful. But I have seen people with extremely heavy pain bodies reducing the energy charge of their pain body by about 80 to 90% in 2 years of practicing this. Now, that's people with incredibly dense pain bodies. So that is possible. It is not that you need a lifetime of practice to become, or even as some traditional, of course, you will make it, you will need, some teachers may tell you, okay, you need 5 more lifetimes. Or this is, you will make it in your next lifetime. Or in 20 years' time, I will give you liberation if you, after you've given me all your money. Let's ask a question, if one arises. Would you want to ask a question? Is the microphone going there? While the microphone travels there, we are present, not waiting for anything to happen.
Hello. Hi. So, I'm wondering how you handle when two people's pain bodies collide.
Oh, yes.
For example, there's, my wife, who I love very deeply. There's my raging pain body.
Yes.
And then there's my pain in the ass body, which sometimes rages back. And I'm wondering how one handles that.
Yes. Now, use the relationship as an essential part of your practice. The pain body is not there continuously, as you know. It arises at times, and it will start arising in one person, either you or your partner. Be there as it arises in yourself. Watch the beginning of it, the beginning of pain. That implies, I wouldn't be telling this if you did not have the necessary degree of presence to be there as the witness, but you have now, if only after sitting here for 3 hours, there is enough presence for you to be there as the witness of the pain as it arises. If you catch it at an early stage, it's easier to stay present and it won't take you over. If it arises so quickly, and that happens in certain pain bodies whose energy field predominantly is anger, anger has a fiery quality to it, and an angry pain body, as opposed to a heavy, depressed pain body, an angry pain body, you have virtually no time to watch it arising, because it arises like an explosion and is there fully fledged in 1 second. So if it's an angry pain body, it's very hard to watch it arising because it arises explosively. If it's a different pain body, a heavy one, fearful one, it's easier to watch it arising and trying to get into your mind. So being there as it starts, the partner can be very helpful, because you may already at an early stage become identified with it and start to argue, and of course the arguing will already be energized by the pain that lies behind the mental rationalizations and arguments, and your partner may still be present and become intensely present and watch as your pain body arises. Your partner watches the arising. If you can't watch the arising of your own pain body, which sometimes you may not be able to yet, your partner can do it for you almost. That's how wonderful the relationship can work. Your partner becomes the witness. If you lose the witness, your partner becomes the witness. That can be a very powerful practice. So what then happens, if I'm with a partner, I can see the pain body arising and already creeping into her mind, wanting me to react, enter the state of intense presence, which is also a state of great openness, and you feel immediately every cell of your body vibrates with life, and you hold that state of complete openness and presence, and you watch the arising of the partner's pain body going through the mind. Now, it will try every trick to pull you into unconscious reaction to the pain body. Pain bodies have extreme cleverness. Your partner will try every trick. It will push buttons that have worked in the past every time in making you unconscious. Say just the right thing that he or she knows is going to make you unconscious and give an emotional reaction. And you stay present. Do it for them. If they lose themselves in the pain body, you hold the presence and watch how the pain body tries every trick to get you, to pull you into unconsciousness. And that presence is always, it emanates as an energy field around you. So if you're with someone, if you stay intensely present, there's an emanation of presence around you. It's very hard for a pain body to remain active for long in the energy field of presence, even if it comes from another person. Now, it may be that the pain body will remove itself, the person will run out of the room, or jump in the car and drive off, or there will be a sudden, and this can happen and it's miraculous, in the middle of being taken over by the pain body, there's an awakening, and there's a sudden aware presence that suddenly is able to watch the intense pain taking place. It could even happen in the middle of a shouting. You're shouting at your partner, and at that moment, the presence arises. And what that feels like is like you're an actor on stage acting out a script, a very powerful script, forgotten that you're acting out a script, and suddenly there's a remembering that this is just acting out of a conditioned pattern, and there's suddenly a watching presence there. That's amazing. So you help each other. If the other person loses him or herself, you stay present. Presence never means that you withdraw or protect yourself. And you need to be, this is why being here is helpful, to become familiar with the state of presence. Some people mistake it for a state of aloofness when, let's say, you're being attacked by your partner's pain body, and then you go into withdrawal. It looks like this. That's not presence. And then even the little me can say, okay, I'm beyond that. I'm not touched by the pain body. I'm beyond such unconsciousness. So presence is open, complete. It's the allowing. You allow your partner to be where he or she is. It's a deep allowing. That's a vast power comes with that. And again, you're embracing, whether you embrace your own pain or you embrace your partner's pain, and you can remain in a state of love, and you realize there's the movement of pain. And you don't need to point it out through words. That probably wouldn't work anyway at that point. But also be careful that the pain bodies are very cunning. It is possible that your pain body may be arising and projecting something at that moment and saying to your partner, there's your pain body. All kinds of things can happen, but if you're present, that'll be fine. I know of some couples who give themselves a secret signal when the other notices the pain body arising in the partner. And for some that works, a little hand signal or just But it can be, sometimes it doesn't work at all when the pain body has a, the pain body is already there and is being told something, and of course that the reactive force can be very strong then. The one signal that definitely doesn't work that somebody suggested to me is so it's helpful sometimes after you've had an interaction governed by the pain body to talk about it and see where it started, where it came in first, how it used the mind, how it used arguments and mental positions of me being right and you being wrong, how it moved into those mind structures, and talk about it afterwards. So it's a good practice occasionally to retrospectively bring presence into an event when you got completely taken over by it. So after consciousness has returned, you kissed and made up and had a nice meal or whatever else you have afterwards, and then talk about it. And isn't that was the pain body? Did it start in you or in me? Let's see, let's trace it back to the beginning. There it was, the beginning movement when you didn't phone me and to let me know you were going to be late, or you didn't put the garbage out, or the most, it can start with very insignificant things. So retrospectively to bring presence into the whole growth of it, and then next time see if you can be present as it happens. Wonderful practice. And whenever you lose it, afterwards see where you lost it. Not in some kind of, oh, I have failed to strengthen the little me that isn't good enough. No, just looking at it objectively, see, that's where it started. That's where the whole pain movement started. That's good practice too. So, see, talk to your partner and see so you can help each other in it. It makes it easier if you help each other. Because it's always one partner, when it comes into one person, the other will still be for a little while conscious. So that's a great advantage. The next time I come, let me know how it's going. The mic is coming.
I wanted to ask you about consciousness in children, and if we can prevent them from having the pain body.
Oh, that's a good question, yes. Asking about consciousness in children, and if we can prevent children from having or developing a pain body. Now, many children absorb pain body at an early age from their parents' pain body. That adds greatly to, some pain is already present in every human being, even as they come into this world, but that adds greatly to the personal pain body. You absorb the pain. It happened, my pain body grew very quickly in the first 6-7 years of my life, because my parents' pain bodies were both there with great intensity. Many homes are like that. So if children absorb their parents' pain body. Now, of course, this, you're asking the question for the people in this room, and they're all, there's consciousness moving in. The most helpful thing you can do with children is to bring consciousness into your own pain body. Or if you live with a partner, you do it, both of you do it, so that you don't emanate and act out continuously pain body and then they absorb it. Now, But even those, even children or parents are not getting lost in their pain body, they will still have a certain amount of pain. And many children, even 3 or 4 year olds, you can often observe how an angel within a few seconds can be transformed into a screaming monster. The transformation is so amazing, we take it for granted that that's normal. This beautiful being, light shining out of his or her eyes, not much mind started yet, the egoic me is not very strong yet, so there's still a lot of being flowing through their eyes. And suddenly, they go into dreadful contraction and throw themselves on the floor and start screaming. That's the pain body. And it's relatively short-lived with children, because their mind isn't developed enough for the pain body to hang on in their mind for a long period of time. So it goes through quickly and leaves them, it subsides again quickly. Now, the greatest thing you can do for children is to point out to them that there's something happening. After an event like that, a screaming fit, or what other children may do, other things, extreme withdrawal or something, to say what happened when this energy, do you remember yesterday when you had the screaming fit? What happened there? Who was that? I see by pointing out that there was an energy movement in the child, and perhaps giving it a name, you can help the child to stay present and watch it as it arises. You can't do it in the middle of it, you'll have to do it afterwards. You can't talk to a screaming monster, but when the angel is back, you talk to the angel and say, who was that monster? Not to induce any guilt or anything like that, in an interested way. Isn't that funny? Where does that come from? Has he got a name? And then next time it happens, just as it arises, oh, there, so-and-so is back. You can say it even while it's happening, although of course that won't wake them up at that point. But a little bit of awareness will be there at that point. And after it has subsided, you say again, oh, there it was again, wasn't that funny? And if you can catch the arising of the pain body in the child just as it first starts, you can say, oh, it's coming on, can you feel it? That means very quickly the witnessing presence in the child will grow, and they can actually watch the movement of the pain body in themselves. And that is wonderful. That's something that every parent, everybody who sits here, can do easily. So you're not trying to get rid of it. It's almost like it's a phenomenon that you and the child together contemplate. Say, wow. And you have to admit openly, if your own pain body has taken you over, you can say, you know what, that was the same thing happened in me. Do you remember what happened this morning? You talked to the child, that was mine. And a point may come when the child may tell you, oh, there's your pain body. That is a truly functional home when that happens. And children can do that. And they would love to be there as the watcher. It's like a game, it's fun. Here's something to surrender to. Now, even with something, before we ask the next question, even with something like that, this is a minor irritation, unless your pain body is ready to awaken, in which fact it could be a big irritation. Oh, unfortunately it stopped now. I was just... Anything like that, if you can practice even with little irritations, practice, see if you can be in complete acceptance of that, what was up to this point irritating, just completely allowing it, allowing it totally. So you work with it, whatever it is, you work with it, allowing it totally, and see what happens. Anything that you allow totally takes you into peace, into the state of great peace. It's amazing. Anything that you allow completely. So that's the work with children is wonderful. That's
all of us have pain bodies, as you point out, and most of us go to a job. And I'm wondering if you can recommend ways in which we can use what we do at work to become free.
Thank you. Now, at work, usually you go into an environment that is dominated by little me's and egos and big ego structures, unconsciousness at work. Many big organizations are still run, there are maybe a few exceptions, but many organizations are still run by that consciousness, that state of consciousness. So a great help is not to expect others to be conscious, not to expect consciousness where there isn't consciousness. You will be very often, as you do this practice for yourself, you will very easily observe unconsciousness and pain bodies arising in other people at work, being acted out through their mind, and it'll happen continuously in some companies more than in others. And it's the same practice because it's basically a relationship. It's bringing presence into relationships. When pain body arises in somebody else, don't go into the reactivity that would be the little me fighting somebody's pain body, which can easily trigger your own pain body and you get a big argument. It's the practice is relinquishing the reactivity of the little me. So you allow unconsciousness in the other person. Doesn't mean you give in every time. There's a great... It's getting hold of the state of presence and bringing presence into your work, to the conference table, to the committee meeting, and as you sit there, little egos having their battles all around the table, you watch, and perhaps for a moment you remember this moment, and that brings back the state of presence, and then you sit there in the state of, you feel intensely connected with the body, and you watch everybody's contribution without mental judgment. You bring presence to the conference table, to the committee meeting. Not the reactivity of the me. Will you watch? And then you may find yourself making a contribution and saying something out of the state of presence. And it'll bring a different quality to the whole interaction. There's one person there who brings in a different consciousness. And then see what happens. So instead of, there's nothing you can do to change others as such, and most of the world still lives in unconsciousness, that's how it is, don't expect it to be otherwise. So it's allowing It's in the allowing people their unconsciousness. This, by the way, also implies to your relationships with other people, like long-standing relationships with parents, which to many people, or children, grown-up children and parents, for many people that's a very problematic area, because there's so much past in there. There's often so much unconsciousness and dysfunction in families. So the most beautiful thing happens when you can, let's say it's your parents, when you can allow your parents completely to be who they are. You give up, which is really the little me, you give up the desire to be understood by them. The little me says, you need to understand me. They won't. But a weight, you will feel a weight being taken off your shoulders when you there's a relinquishing of the need to be understood by your parents. Oh, that's a relief. They don't need to understand me. And then there's a letting go, and this all comes with presence. There's a letting go of wanting them to be different, wanting them to behave differently, accusing them of having done this or that, or having failed to do this or that. There was nobody there to have failed. There was just unconsciousness in motion, nothing personal in it. They did what they could do according to their level of consciousness. Really, there was nobody there to ever have done anything or not done anything. It was unconsciousness playing itself out. That's why Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you realize they didn't know any better, there wasn't enough consciousness. If Jesus had lived now, he would have said, forgive them, for they are completely unconscious. That's what it means. It's just unconsciousness playing itself out. And then even that drops away, that the feeling that they should have done something differently. And the more presence arises in you, the more you realize nobody ever did anything to you. The presence, it's only the identity of the little me feels hurt or injured. When the dimension of presence arises, presence always remained totally pristine, totally pure, totally fresh and new. Nothing ever happened to it. So the reality of who you are, nothing ever happened to that. No matter what pain was inflicted on you in your childhood, as presence emerges, you realize there's a dimension in you that was never touched. And then forgiveness happens automatically. You don't have to try to forgive. As long as you try to forgive, it's not really working. Oh, I should be forgiving because I'm spiritual. You cannot really make yourself. Forgiveness happens naturally as presence arises and you feel the vastness of who you truly are beyond the little me. Forgiveness is just there. You don't even have a word for it anymore. So it really is all, towards all relationships, whether at work or with parents, between parents and children, the most powerful tool is to allow everyone to be who they are, which is an aspect of allowing this moment to be as it is. On the canvas of this moment, very often people will appear in it. Very often this moment will come to you as a person. It may come to you as a person's pain body coming out of this at you. Okay, the practice is allow it to be. That's where power flows through. The mind says, no, you can't allow it to be. You should be doing something about it. the most powerful transformation happens through allowing to be. So when I say allow the present moment to be, very often that means allow this person to be, allow the unconsciousness to be there. It's fine. And then you will notice relationships with your parents improves dramatically when you give up the desire to be understood. You don't need that anymore. You realize there was nobody there who ever did anything to you or failed to do anything. So you can see miraculous transformations in situations through allowing. That's where the vast power comes through, whether it's at work or with. You can try it out. What's coming up soon? Thanksgiving. Wonderful place to practice when all the family gets together. For some people, it's agony having to go through that. Now, this time, see if you can bring in complete acceptance of what is. Everybody around the table happens to be part of this moment then. Allow this moment, including the turkey dinner and whatever it is, people acting out their conditioned behavior. You can predict what they're going to say next because they said the same thing 10 years ago. Allow it to be. And then your next practice will be Christmas. They get together again. That's always a good, and the ultimate test is parents. You may, Ram Dass said his famous statement, if you think you're so enlightened, go and spend a week with your parents.
Can you say a little bit about the intense pain of losing somebody through death, somebody who you're really close to, or the pain of a marriage dissolution?
Yes, thank you. Now, the pain of great loss, either loss of a loved one through death or loss of a relationship, which is also a close relationship, is also a kind of death. There may be some situations where surrendering to what is seems impossible. Some situations are intrinsically so painful that you just, no matter, you may have been successfully practicing surrendering to what is, but there suddenly something happens and you just can't, and intense pain arises. And this is the second level of surrender. The first level of surrender is surrendering to what is. That's the most perfect surrender. But this may not always be possible yet. The second level of surrender is to surrender to what you feel. So if pain arises because you couldn't surrender on level one to what is, it just wasn't possible, if pain arises, you surrender to the pain. You accept the pain. And that is a strange thing. At first, everything inside you says, no, this is dreadful. I don't want the pain. The pain may flow into your mind, but if you surrender to the pain, that can be a wonderful opening. The pain of loss, deep loss. Feel it and accept the pain that you feel so completely that almost as if there were not a person there anymore who is suffering the pain, there's only the pain. And there's a complete acceptance of that. At first, it seems unnatural to do that. But as you continue to accept it and be with that pain, instead of running away from it, you will, after a while, something happens. And the pain turns around, and there's suddenly a vast peace underneath the pain, which is not a denial of the pain. It's only by going into the pain and allowing it, you touch it suddenly. Whenever there's loss whether a big loss or a little loss, it's an opportunity. The fabric of your existence, suddenly a hole appears in it. Something vital is gone. That is an emptiness. The great loss leaves a feeling of great emptiness. And that great emptiness at first is deep pain, because there's a reaction. The emptiness is painful. The reactive me reacts, oh. Now, if you allow the emptiness to be, that is there where there was that being, is gone, there's a hole. The winds of grace blow through that hole that is left when there's great loss. There's an incredible opportunity there if you only allow it. In the absence, whenever there's an absence of something that had been greatly valued, it leaves a nothingness. The nothingness is at first very painful. As you surrender into the nothingness, there's a fullness that is hiding underneath, behind there. And some people have done that. They lost everything all at once. There have been reports of people losing the position, their family, and their homes all at once. It's almost as if the fabric of your existence had only holes in it now. And at first there was an influx of incredible, unbearable pain, and then there was complete surrender. And suddenly there was what Jesus calls the peace that passes all understanding, coming out of what was intense pain through surrender. And so that when somebody dies close to you, surrender to the pain, surrender to the feeling of the pain, and see how it becomes transformed. And what happens after that, there is such an intense depth of peace and aliveness. If it could speak, of course it doesn't speak, if it could speak, it would say, all is well, there is no death. If it could speak, that's what it feels like. But you don't even need the words. And it will happen to everybody. Some loss, some great loss will come into everybody's life. Somebody close to you will die. Another great loss will come. Your own death will at some point will come approaching. And you can see, oh. And by perhaps everybody in this room, by then, will have already gone beyond identification with the little person and the little me, and already has access to a dimension that is beyond death. The reality of who you are that is beyond death. I don't want to give you any belief. That's why I don't want to talk about it too much. We are here to experience, to be the timeless consciousness, the timeless state of consciousness that is beyond birth and death, that is your reality and everybody else's reality. It is often through pain that you have access to it, and here it's an easier way. But if pain is happening in your life at this time and coinciding with being here, that is wonderful. Life has given you this at this time. The two come together, and that's beautiful. So anything you cannot accept externally and pain arises, or something, whatever arises as a feeling, accept. Surrender to what you feel. Surrender to what is. If you can't, surrender to what you feel about that. Thank you.
This concludes Living the Liberated Life and Dealing with the Pain Body with Eckhart Tolle. Music by Stephen McNamara. For further information on lectures and workshops with Eckhart Tolle, you may visit his website at www.eckharttolle.com. You may also visit Namaste Publishing at www.namastepublishing.com. To order additional copies of this program, or to receive a free catalog of over 400 transformational audio and video tapes, please call Sounds True, 800-333-9185, or write the Sounds True catalog, P.O. Box 8010, Boulder, Colorado, 80306. You may also visit us at www.soundstrue.com. Thank you for listening.